You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Sitting at ringside.
The show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
With Daniel Spencer.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Jeremy Wallman.
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
And Justin Kruger.
Your arms are just too short to box with God.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
My name is JK, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
No, but we can throw him off the bus.
We can do that. Yeah, wow.
One thing you can't teach, though, is 7 feet tall.
7 feet. That is true. You can't teach 7 feet tall. And speaking of 7 feet tall, we have a guest today. The big ticket, Brandon Abels, is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, Brandon? How you doing?
How you doing, guys?
All right. Yeah,
we're doing great, man. Thanks for coming on today. We appreciate you.
Hey, not a problem. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
All right. And now,
not a lot of people say that when he's around, but...
You know. Who's he? Pronouns, pal. Who's he? Oh, pointing to me?
Yeah, my hand is pointing at you.
Your hand is pointing... Yeah, well, whatever.
When my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut. Sorry.
So, we appreciate you coming on the show. We want to have you on. We have this big event coming up. Let's just get right to it. You know, man, let's just plug this thing. River Valley Wrestling has this special show coming out this Saturday when you're hearing this. And, of course, it's August the 12th. It's going to be in... Jeffersonville, Indiana, is that right?
Yes, sir.
At the arena. Tell us a little bit about that show. What's this for? I know it's a benefit. Go ahead, explain a little bit what's going on.
We're calling it Grappling for Gracie. And basically, why we're doing this show is for a little girl named Grace. Grace is a five-year-old little girl, mm-hmm. and she suffers from a rare connective tissue disorder. It's called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Basically, this syndrome is really bad on her joints. It's very painful for her to walk. It's very bad. It's called a mm-hmm. silent disease because on the outside, she looks like a quote-unquote normal five-year-old girl. But she suffers from this disease, and it's terrible. She's reliable in a wheelchair. And she needs a new wheelchair because she's got a once-in-a-lifetime trip coming up to Disney soon. And we want to make sure that she has this wheelchair for Disney World so she has an unbelievable time.
That's awesome. And what's everything go directly towards the all proceeds go to the condition, I guess, or the like a foundation or
exactly. She was just fitted for a customizable wheelchair for her. She's got a loaner chair now, but it's not good for her. It's mm-hmm. like not comfortable for her and all that kind of deal. So this new wheelchair is $4,000, and the family can't afford it. So we are raising the money for the family to be able to pay for this wheelchair. So everything that we make that night will go towards buying the wheelchair.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, I see the card here. This pretty good card. The main event, though, it looks like you're in the main event for the NWF International Heavyweight Championship. I see a name on here, though, Jeremy. Did you see this name?
And I thought it was a typo. I thought maybe somebody had missed, you know, I couldn't believe it when I seen it. I almost instantly lost all my, faith in the big ticket here. But it's friend of the program.
But it's, let me make sure this is right. Ricky Chevy. Is that right? Is he going to be there?
Ricky Chevy will be there live and in person that evening. Yes, sir.
Are you forcing him to be there, or is he coming on his own free will?
You know what? I don't know. Nothing runs like a Chevy, you know?
Gosh. A Ford truck, maybe. But wait a minute, though.
A snail runs like that, that Chevy.
Yeah. Yeah, that Chevy's a little bit different. But hold on here, though. He's actually doing this as a – like does he realize he's not getting paid?
I'm buying him a case of beer. Does that count?
All right.
I knew there was something.
There's something going on.
There's always a catch with Chevy.
There's always a catch, man. Okay, that makes now it makes perfect sense.
You know what? Wait. Let me back up. About a year ago, year and a half, 2 years ago, he lost a match to me because he always does because I'm better than him. So,
I mean, I'm sure you definitely are, but there's a lot of people better than Ricky Chevy.
There's a lot of people in this room who could be Ricky Chevy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? When I said that out loud, I thought it sounded cool, but now that you brought it to my attention, you're right. Everybody's better than
Chevy. This calculator could probably pin
Ricky Chevy. You probably could do it, though, in like 30 seconds, where it might take us about a minute, probably. Right?
Actually, I think it was 27 and a half.
27 and a half. Okay, there you go.
And that was with entrances. So... but he lost a match to me, and then he left the company. I think he was fired. I'm pretty sure he was fired.
That sounds like Ricky Chevy.
But he was supposed to be my personal servant for a year, and since he got fired, so you know what, Chevy, no beer. You're just coming.
There he goes. There
he's going to hate us that we got his trade revoked.
I mean, all you have to literally, if he can't afford $5.99 a case of beer at Kroger, then I think there's a problem. Anyway,
let's just why does every show always come back to him? Everybody we talk to,
I don't know.
So I guess we always made fun of him, like, oh, you talk a big talk, you don't know all these people. Maybe he really does know because it always comes back to him. But just to tell a little story on him, he's the type of guy that'll be like, hey, man, let's get together to watch the pay-per-view, order all these pizzas, and I'll bring pizza money. And then when you get there, I forgot to stop at the ATM.
No, he doesn't show up.
Or he doesn't show. Well, mostly he doesn't show, but yeah, when he does.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. Enjoy the pizza on me.
Like, hey, man, go grab some steaks and baked potatoes and cook them out, and I'll be over it. And I'll give you money on it. And then he gets there. If he does get there.
Right.
He forgot his money. Sorry, Ricky.
Yeah. So back to this this River Valley Wrestling. How long has River Valley been around?
This is our debut event.
Okay. So debut event. So now is this going to be? Of course, we have this fundraiser, but is this going to be a future for weekly shows, monthly shows? What's it looking at?
I don't think we're going to run weekly. Excuse me. I think we're going to run more on a monthly basis and go from there. We'll see if we can build a good fan base from this show and move forward from there. That's the hope anyway. We got a good roster of guys that are willing to work for us, so we'll see where it goes.
Who's some other notables on the card? I mean, I'm looking at names, but go ahead. I mean, you can probably run them out quicker than I could.
Roger Blade, he's an old school OVW guy. He was back there when it was Nightmare Incorporated. He did a Sergeant Blade gimmick, everybody karaoke gimmick. Vito Andretti was one half of the Andretti Express and the Fat and Furious at OVW. Myself, Roger, Ricky Chevy, Spider Murphy, I mean, Lennox Norris, Nate Steele, the list goes on and on and on.
A lot of well known in this area for sure.
Yeah, a lot of local guys, a lot of guys that were trained at OVW back when OVW was owned by WWE. So, a lot of
probably under Rip Rogers then.
Vito's a Rip product. So was Roger. Yeah. So there, and I was taught by Vito, so I was pretty much a Rip product. So there you go. It's a lot of great local talent.
So I see. Let's talk about who you're going to have in attendance as far as celebrity power, as far as newspapers, TV. Who are you going to have there?
I've reached out so far to the Courier Journal, WLKY Wave, all the local news channels.
Local here in Louisville, Kentucky, in the southern Indiana area.
Correct. But right now, confirmed, 93.9, the Ville's own Steve Rummage will be our special guest ring announcer that night.
Good friend of the show.
Right. And you may know Steve from Middays with Marcus Maben. Great guy. Big wrestling fan, so we're excited to have him there.
Yeah, we've sent the invite to him on the show before, and he's going to come. He's just working on the schedule with him.
Well, we record Sundays, and he's a pastor, so he has church all day Sunday, so it's hard for him to get out. But yeah,
sure.
And Marcus is going to absolutely love the fact you gave him a cheap pop on my show. So but I think somebody else is going to be in attendance.
There is, I think so too. Well, at least one, possibly
I just don't know what that person will do. So do you have any ideas for said person?
Well, the said person, why don't we just say what it is?
Well, I mean, it's Ringside's own Jeremy Wauman.
Yeah, Jeremy
Wauman. Right.
I didn't need any introduction. They know. They listen to the show. They know who the star is.
And
they know who the friend of the star is.
Sure. Yeah, so you're not going to put him in the ring, are you?
We might. We might.
If you do it, make sure he gets some chops. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I might be 7'1" and 300 pounds, but everybody needs a bodyguard. You know what I mean? And yeah, he's a pretty big guy himself, so I might need a bodyguard.
I would love that
night.
Or if you know you need somebody to run in and help you win the title, I can distract the ref and you can punch him in the nuts or something, and then we can go from there.
Hey, whatever it takes. You know, the guy I'm wrestling, Roger Blade, he's always got some girl with him that leads him around on a dog collar. So
why not have you?
I'll be the girl.
Look at that. I caught that. You see, he always has some girl with him. So why
I'm
not
actually
have...
shocked you were able to catch a girl.
Oh, gosh.
Oh.
You threw the heat. I threw the missiles. You don't do that to me. That's my thing.
It's a good
bro.
Thing you hired Jeremy, because he can beat a big, bad booty daddy to counter her.
He is our lunatic friend. Yeah. Our shows. What did they used to call Brian Pillman?
The loose cannon.
He is our loose cannon, and I really wish I hope I never hear you call me the big, bad booty daddy ever again. I appreciate the sentiment.
This show always goes somewhere in that area. And
it's okay. You're never going to publish the show anyway. You're going to delete it, and this isn't going to ever air.
It goes in a big looping circle, and it never, ever stops.
It doesn't.
This show's broken, right?
It is broken. All right. Also, real quick, before you interrupt me like you normally do, you're going to have a raffle. Tell them about the raffle.
The raffle is a big deal. Thankfully, Twitter opens up all kinds of doors for you that you don't expect.
It does, yeah.
And I spent the better part of a week talking back and forth with the hardcore legend himself, Mick Foley, on Twitter. Mick was actually going to try to make it, but due to scheduling conflicts for the day, he can't. So what he did do is he is donating a lunch with him next time that he is in town.
Oh, wow.
And we are raffling that off starting now. We can get you tickets now, and we'll draw for it that day. Tickets are going to be $5 a piece or 5 for $20.
Okay, I'm in on this now. So when is this how can they, let's say they don't, do they have to make it to the show to get the tickets, or can they do it?
No, I will come to you any day this week, and get you tickets.
All right. What's your Twitter so they can tweet you? And
at Big Ticket Ables.
At Big Ticket Ables. Okay. Then it's Ables, A-B-L-E-S, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
so
sir.
In this case, so at Big Ticket. And if you don't have to spell Big Ticket, then go back to school.
Right.
All right. So,
I thought you were going to say then you probably went to school in Jefferson County growing up.
Jefferson County in Louisville? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, possibly. Yeah. I mean, that is true.
No, Jefferson County in Indiana.
Well, I'm just saying that for people that, you know, we have
people
fans.
Know that we're in Louisville, Kentucky,
right,
the home of Muhammad Ali and the home of the University of Louisville Fighting Cardinals. They know.
But we still are worldwide, though. We got to make sure.
We do. He doesn't know this. We have a huge following in Japan.
Japan. I mean, dude, that's not even – that's just one country.
Really?
Japan. Yeah, we're huge.
We don't even know how.
We're
I guess
huge
they
in
love
Japan.
Wrestling that much.
We're huge in Japan. We're huge in India. A little bit in India. Canada, UK. I mean, it's Spain. I mean, it's crazy. Australia. I mean, we got such a big following. It's pretty wild.
Thank goodness I didn't give my other name the Big Godzilla Brandon Ables in, right? That might have turned a few people away.
No, actually, it may have caused a deterrent.
That's the name of this episode, the Big Godzilla.
There you go. I love it.
I might have just got booked in Japan with that comment. We'll see.
Hey, it works. If it works, it works. So how long have you been wrestling?
On and off for about 12 years now.
12, okay.
Once my collegiate athletic career and stuff was over, I needed something to turn to. And mm-hmm. I've been a fan of professional wrestling since I was 2 years old. If I would have made it to WWE, I would have been that kid that they shown a home video of in his underwear imitating Hulk Hogan. Yeah,
that
would have been me.
JK still does that, by the way.
Watch this.
Oh, nice, nice. So wrestling was an obvious outlet for me, and I started training. I trained at a company called CCW, which was up at the Industrial Nightmare in Jeffersonville, and went from there. It's been a great ride. It was a great ride, and I missed it. So here I am. I'm back.
Yeah. How long did you take a break for?
Year and a half.
Year and a half.
And the reason that I took a break is last year I was running for office, and I did not think that running around in spandex would have been good for my political career. So I lost the election. So here I am back in spandex again.
Hold on. I got to go back to that. You're running for office for what? What was you running for?
I ran for a local office here in Louisville, the C District County Commissioner.
Okay.
And in February of 2016, I had my last match, and now fast forward to now, and here I am getting back in the ring.
Well, now, obviously, the running for office didn't work out. I apologize for that. What was it? Was it a battle to the end, or like how did that?
It was a battle to the end. I got 134,000 votes for a local office and lost. So, wow. I mean,
that's crazy.
That's pretty wild.
There's not a whole lot you can do about that. You know what I mean? So
yeah, unless Russia got involved, I guess.
Right. I should have called Vladimir. I hear he's a wrestling fan. Should have done it.
Should have done. Yeah, well.
Vladimir Kozlov or Vladimir Putin.
What? Kozlov, obviously.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Well, you never know. Wrestlers have had political office. You know, Kane's running for mayor right now.
I think he's going to win, actually. He's done a pretty good campaign. And then you got, you
know, don't forget, WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump is our president right now.
He is.
And that is exactly why I voted for that guy. He's a WWE Hall of Famer.
Exactly. He is a WWE Hall of Famer.
I'm just trying to figure which one mutes Justin for the rest of the show.
Jesse the Body Ventura was also mayor of, or governor, sorry, of Minnesota. Yeah, you know, and then he's and I'm surprised he ain't ran for president yet, as crazy as he is. And then another WWE Hall of Famer was also governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, so, you know. And Rhino was also running for office too, I think.
And Senate up in Michigan last year.
Wow. It's pretty, and Jerry Lawler ran for mayor in Memphis, and I'm, you know.
How he didn't win that, I will never know, but.
Puppies, that's how.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Just leave it like that. That's right, that is true.
So I guess the thing that we need to learn from this, if we ever want to run for office, we should probably try to get into a wrestling ring or do something we do something with wrestling, but maybe get in the ring.
Well, I'm working on that right now because I want that title's mine.
Let's talk about that, not to get away from the big ticket. But just for all of you all that listen, the last couple weeks there's been a little bit of animosity from Daniel. I made him aware that, and he's not as much of an avid OVW TV. He loves the product.
Back in the day.
Right. But I let him know there's this guy on the local radio waves. His name is Shannon the Dud, right? Shannon the Dude,
but yeah, he's like a Big Lebowski or something.
He's carrying around a strap in OVW now that's called the Radio World Heavyweight Championship. And instantly Daniel thought I was kidding. But this is a title that's defended in OVW. Tony Vannetti wrestled for it, I believe, a couple weeks ago. He's defended it against a couple jobbers that weren't in media as well. And I pitched the idea that maybe Daniel, I mean, obviously I could take him. He's the big ticket, I'm the slightly smaller ticket.
You brought it to my attention that he's defending, but he's not really defending it.
No, he hasn't in quite a while, but so, he's walking around with his world and his tag team partner,
look,
the OVW World Heavyweight Champion Adam Revolver, and they like Shannon's doing something.
But yeah. So, anyways, I'm challenging him to this title because I'm the real deal over here. I'm the local radio celebrity right now. You know, I know. Look, my boy Vannetti, he tried to get it and he got screwed out of it. You know, it happens. So now I'm gonna take it over. And I just tweeted out just to let him know, you know, and what's going on OVW.
And
OVW.
You got a ton of hate tweets back. And it wasn't even like it was UK UofL rivalry talk.
Right. I was like, what was this all about? This person, BB Nation. I'm like, who cares about
it? How did they know that you weren't a Kentucky fan? I mean, you act like one, but how did they know you are one?
All they do is go to my Twitter account. But it's No, but I was like, no.
They couldn't wait to know. They'd have to be able to read.
Oh,
fair point. He has a point.
They can read.
I always have a point.
All they know is when they see L1C4, they think that's bad.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they're like, oh, we got to say BBN. It turned into this whole rivalry. But I'll get all this hate. I'm like, what is this? So who are you? Then they want to, this woman wanted to have a match with me. I'm like, look, I'm not Andy Kaufman. I'm not Paradise. I'm not Ike Turner.
I thought it would have been a pretty fair fight, though. Y'all's measurements were about the same from top to bottom, maybe not from east to west. She looked like she enjoyed a good buffet is all I'm saying. I think she might have been able to take you.
But anyways, on another note. So, yes, I put out a challenge to Shannon the Dude, or the Dud, or whatever it is, and we're gonna see what happens. Because I want if he's going to defend it for real, let's defend it. Let's defend the thing for real.
I just don't want you to pull another Enzo and not be able to, you know, to stop writing checks that your rear end can't cash. I just hope that's not the case, because Shannon's a tall dude. He's a tall, lanky dude. Like, he might be able to take you. tall. I don't really believe that at all.
Yeah,
I think JK could probably handle him pretty easily.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. But speaking of OVW, we actually this past week went to the OVW Saturday Night Special, and it's been probably 6 months or so since I've been back in that arena.
It's been like a year since I've been to a Saturday Night Special,
and it was an interesting show. I mean, there was a lot of surprises. You had Rebel. Paradise obviously was there too, as we kind of made a joke about him all ago. But
Pope was there. He's not a normal
Elijah Burke. Right. Yeah, Pope was there. It was a very good event overall.
That main event though,
main event was great. It was War Games. It was their version of War Games. A little different because there was only one ring, but it still was kind of the cage and everything there. But it was really nice.
Well, and it was 6-on-5. That was one of the stipulations. They both got to pick a stipulation. Michael Hayes, he was the captain of one team. His stipulation.
Michael BS, not PS.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think they know who I'm talking about.
Wow.
But Michael Hayes was the captain of one team. His stipulation was he wanted an extra team member.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pope said, well, you can have the extra team member as long as I can name it. And of course, he named Josh Ashcraft the manager,
right,
the sixth member of that team, which ended up paying dividends in the end. Not to spoil this for any of you all that are on OVW TV. And then the Pope's stipulation was if their team won, then Logan James, shout out to him, would get a world title shot in the future.
And also another stipulation is the Pope could not touch.
Right. Michael the Pope Hayes. Was not allowed to touch Michael Hayes. If he did, he was immediately thrown out of the match.
Which happened.
Which, spoilers, dude, they might want to buy the DVD or watch it on. You do that all the time with other shows with me, and it drives me crazy.
Well, I mean, people are just gonna read what happened anyway. So
okay. So anyway, Michael Hayes' team won.
All right. Yes, they did.
There we go.
Why not give it away?
I did.
The only thing I think was a little interesting, and we talked about this, and I don't know if it was just a last minute decision, but the women's match was in a cage. It was supposed to be for the title.
Oh,
the
God.
Women's title.
That's the only match. Please do not ask me about that. Well, you go ahead and talk about it. Well, I was gonna say, it angered me greatly.
Well, it was supposed to be for the title, and it turned into. If anyone wins besides a champion, they get a number one contendership.
It confused people so much that the ring announcer even was like, "Your winner and new heavyweight champion gets a shot at the title next month."
Yeah,
Kelly. It just wasn't good. And real quick, because I know you like to move things forward, and I do too. Check out Ringside Podcast later today or tomorrow. Insane spot off the top of this. What seemed to be a 40-foot-tall cage. It was Logan James, right?
Logan James. So by the time this airs, LJ, yeah, by the time this airs, it'll be
on. It'll already have been on there. So scroll back a couple of days. Man, I was on the opposite side of the cage watching it, trying to get my phone to record it. Thankfully, Daniel was actually doing his job.
As soon as I saw him go to the cage, the camera was on.
And it's amazing. So make sure you check that out. Go ahead. Continue.
Oh, well, I was going to say one more shout out too. We have something in brewing for a good friend of mine, but also a friend of the show, obviously. But if he's a good friend of mine, he's a good friend of the show. And Matt Capitelli, some of you all know, he's had a second brain surgery and went through the cancer came back, tumor. Got it removed, but he still has to go through a lot of treatments, a lot of things. So there's a GoFundMe page out there to support, to help raise money. And the link is on our Facebook page. But also, they're doing shirts for Team Cap at OVW. You can go to OVW's website and get them or go to the shows. They're $10. All money gets used to go to benefit Matt Capitelli and his family during this time. And we are actually partnering with Matt. I talked to him the other day. We're going to have some other merchandise too. You can get,
absolutely.
You can purchase wristbands and things like that that are coming out. So be on the lookout for that. And once again, all those proceeds will go directly to Matt and this. And so it's kind of like this whole Live Strong Team Cap. He's a great guy. I mean, really, really, just down to earth, awesome guy. And so we want to send our thoughts and prayers out to him, mm-hmm. and just help support. Mm-hmm. If you want to know more information about it, just tweet us, tweet me individually at Daniel Spencer or Ringside Podcast, and we'll get you in touch on how to help go to that round and donate money.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a great cause. He's been not a close of a friend of yours, but I mean, he's friends of my friends, and he's always been a good dude. Always had good advice for me. So. Hoping for the best for him. Like, you know, my dad just beat lung cancer.
Right.
So I'm hoping that he's able to do, he's able to get healthier and be able to get back to a point to where he can do what he loves.
Maybe we can get the Young Bucks, instead of doing the revival hashtag, maybe we can get them to do a cancer hashtag one. You know what I'm saying?
If anybody could do it, it's you. You know how in tune you are with the indies.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, you know the hashtag I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
We can even to change the revival to cancer, and then there you go. That, and then, yeah.
I'm the one that's supposed to be telling the jokes, not you.
I'm not a joke. I was being serious. How was that? Was that a joke?
It sounded like you were trying to, because I know the hashtag. You're, look, you're smiling. Y'all can't see this, but he's trying to take my stuff.
By the way, speaking of that, Wendy's, shout out to Wendy's. I know they're a sponsor of the show, but man, whoever runs that social media is awesome. So somebody asked them, what do you think of the Young Bucks? And they say, they're elite. And then they responded back, well, what do you think of the revival? And they said, we can't use that hashtag. Right. That's so great. Like, whoever runs, they've always made wrestling comments. They're a huge wrestling fan. Whoever runs that social media, because they're constantly doing glorious, gifts and stuff like that. So it's always fun to see what they do.
Well, that's because social media is becoming such a big part of our everyday life. I mean, as far as my job, podcast, radio, website, social media is like an artery. You know, if I don't have that, I don't have anything, because I can't get. I met you through social media.
Right.
So
they were saying earlier, you know, Twitter is a big deal for him.
Right.
With the fundraiser, I mean, got Mick Foley and all these different things to you know, help out. So yeah, it's huge.
Well, he got a huge like spike in interest when I retweeted his stuff. So
exactly.
How he's got to put himself over. I don't get it.
I don't have to put myself puts myself over. Look, y'all aren't going to pick on me today. I've got my back up.
Are you going to doubt a guy who has like five times the amount of followers we have?
That is true.
He does.
No, yeah. 10 times the amount of followers of some people in the room. And how many do you have on social media?
I don't count those followers. I mean, I have like 1,000 or something.
Probably because 600 of them are bots.
No. Actually, no. I don't. Mine are not bots. I delete all those when I see they're fake.
Look, I'm not trying to pitch nothing for the show next week. But if there happens to be an impromptu tag team match, this guy would have to be our manager, right?
Right. Right.
He spits hot fire on the microphone all the time, and he hates you as much as I do. So.
It is what it is.
I'm flattered, Jeremy.
Hey, any day, bro.
He went the mouth from the south. Is that what he's like, the Jimmy Hart that annoy you? All right.
What are we talking about? Louisville's not the south. Who are we kidding here?
Louisville is the south. It's still considered the south. We're not in the Midwest. Even though we're right on the edge of the Midwest, we're still the south.
Stick to wrestling,
Daniel. There's a reason
Daniel.
We call it the state of Louisville. Thank you very much.
Well,
this is true. Mostly because we hate the hillbillies that live to the east of us, but still.
All right, so normally on our segments, we do different things. This is awesome, things like that, rapid fire, all that. So why don't we go ahead and go into our This Is Awesome segment.
All right. They actually did it. They had Shinsuke freaking Nakamura beat John Cena clean on SmackDown Live.
They did.
I can't believe it. I know Jeremy is beside himself probably, but this was a really, really, really good match. Was it not?
I'm ready to call the police and have you arrested once again.
The fashion police?
For robbery. No, that's your thing. Every time. But good thing I had two this week, so I will not hold you accountable for the theft of that one.
It was mine, too.
But it was... Oh, it was?
It was mine. Yeah,
and that's why I wanted to go first.
Yeah.
It's a sneaky little bastard.
He's a creepy little bastard.
No, I said sneaky.
But in all fairness, SmackDown last week was really, really good. Lots of good stuff in general.
That's true.
It was actually better than Raw.
Yeah.
For
the first time in probably a couple months.
I love the... actually, you know what? Yeah, my This Is Awesome moment was Kevin Owens, what he did with the when he lost it. I mean, Shinsuke would have been number one, but my honorable mention to back up, so I don't still have the same one. It was when Kevin Owens he lost, and the way they did. Now the spot was a little botched with the whole ref thing.
No, that was planned though, right?
It was planned, but it was botched the way they did it, because I think they executed just enough where you get the idea, but it wasn't done the way I would have wanted it to be done. And I think the way it was supposed to be done, because they hit him in the left eye, but he always held it. That's what they said, and that's what it looked like. But then his right eye was the one that was – so it was, like, messed up a little bit. But anyways, it set up a great whole feud with him in the back throwing stuff and had Shane and Daniel Bryan there. And that I mean, I
love the KO versus AJ feud. Those are two of my favorite performers in the world. And yeah. I think they should be wrestling for the heavyweight title and not the United States Championship. But unlike you two, I'm not going to be rude. I'm going to let our guests go – and do his This Is Awesome moment, which is probably being on the Ringside Podcast. But other than that, if you can hold that back.
My This Is Awesome moment is talking to Mick Foley. I didn't get to see any wrestling last week, but I got to talk to Mick Foley. So that's, I mean, this guy participated in one of the greatest matches in history in the Hell in a Cell match.
Yes.
His winning the WWE World title was the turning point for the
WWF and WCW.
Winning the Monday Night Wars, mm-hmm. and I have got to talk to this man, and that is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can beat that.
He does put butts in the seats.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The house was packed when he came to the Comedy Caravan for his show like four mm-hmm. years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah. Jim Cornette did a Q&A there. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, Jim Cornette actually cut a promo for my cousin that night for a show he was doing next month.
And who's your cousin?
The Future Eddie Young.
The Future Eddie Young. You might know him.
Yeah. I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Great worker, supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, actually, we're going to have him on the show eventually one time.
Eventually.
Whenever
the future can make plans for us.
Yeah, well, we've extended the invite. Yeah, we extended the invite, and we're just waiting for, you know, his busy schedule to open up. We have a lot of invites extended.
Yeah. We got a lot of future guests.
We have a lot of future guests that's given us the yay. It's just working out the schedule. Actually, I'm pretty excited about a few of them. So
let's not spoil them at the moment.
I'm not spoiling them. I'm just saying they're out there.
Well, that's what you do. You like to spoil stuff.
Whatever.
My This Is Awesome moment, first off, JK kind of mentioned it was John Cena losing the match. That was one B.
Hold on.
That was one B.
I'll let you go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me to talk, sir.
We'll come back to John Cena again.
Okay. I'm sure we will, because you've got his name in your mouth all the time. So I'm or something. But yes, yeah, seeing Shinsuke, as I watched the 1-2-3 went go down, I was normally like you are when you're watching John Cena wrestle. My mouth dropped. And I was like, I cannot believe that this just happened. But that's not even my best part of the week. That's not even my favorite. My favorite part of the week, for those of y'all that follow the show, know that me and Daniel have an ongoing bet.
Oh my God.
And Daniel told me, well, if the Hardy Boys get signed to WWE, they'll never be broken again. They're never going to do the same gimmick. They'll never allow it. When my hand goes up, your mouth stays shut. Calm it down. We'll never see that. They're going to turn it into something different. Da-da-da-da-da. This week on WWE.com, the Awoken Hardys showed he's going to try. This is what Daniel does. He makes bets, then he tries to get out of on a technicality. They're not called broken anymore. They're awoken, so it's not the same thing.
I said they may have a form of the gimmick.
No, you didn't.
But it will not be the same broken gimmick.
It's the same gimmick.
No, it's not.
There's a couple. You know what the biggest difference between the gimmick? Two letters, the BR and the AW. That's the only difference in the gimmick so far.
We haven't seen it. It's on SummerSlam yet. We still haven't seen it. You've seen it on WWE.com.
We will see it.
That's not Raw. You said it wouldn't be in the WWE.
Exactly. But I'm going to give you that caveat that we have to see it on TV, even though that wasn't the initial deal. Y'all go back and listen to it. Slaps always turns his word. We had many a fights because he tries to change a couple words, and I call him Mr. Technicality. Sometimes I call him Mr. Typo because he tries to snap back on me on tweets. Every time he claps back at me, he typos the word and screws it up. So he stopped doing that to me. Yes, I'm burying you. I don't care. But this is my This Is Awesome moment was seeing Matt Hardy, his soul awaken, his new vessel.
He's been awoken. He's not broken.
And the WWE
he's been awoken.
Universe will never be the same again.
That's Jericho's gimmick.
I'm not saying again. I'm telling you.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't steal people's gimmicks.
That's my pal Jericho. Anyway, so it's not broken. Awoken is not broken.
Hold on real quick. Okay, so for another second, my hand's up. If everything's the same, I'm going to ask your opinion, and I respect it. Depending on what you say, I'll respect it a lot. If everything's the same, except for they've changed the name from Broken to Awoken, is that not the exact same thing?
It's the same. It's just using different glossy terms.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm not done. Mr. Ticket.
It's the same. They're just avoiding a lawsuit.
Okay. But everything has to be the same, and it's not.
Jeff Hardy sung the obsolete song in the middle of the ring the other night on Raw. That was on Raw. That was 2 weeks ago. He sung the song that they sung in TNA, Impact, GFW, A&W, Kroger, whatever they are this week. In that federation, the song that they sung going to the ring, his entrance music. He sung on Raw the other day. Matt Hardy's doing his.
He's been doing that since he came out of the.
Delightful, yes! All that stuff. He's doing the same stuff. So what's the difference? You don't want to lose a bet. You don't want to lose a bet.
I'm telling you.
You don't want to be wrong.
No.
I'm right. Everybody in the room.
You're not. It's 3-1. It's not over yet. No, it's not.
It is over.
If it's the same.
It's over.
No, hold on. If it's the same, but it has not been out there. All you see is tweets and little things. They were doing that from the very beginning. He was doing the voices and all that on Twitter when they first came out at WrestleMania.
I can't hear voices on Twitter.
On WrestleMania.
You mean the words, the types?
No, not that I'm talking about. These little interviews that they were doing. They were doing that from the very beginning.
No, but this
is Michael Cole said things are about to be broken.
But so your initial comment, though, to be fair, was made when I said, oh, my God, WWE just signed the Hardy Boys. They hadn't been on WWE TV yet, hadn't been at WrestleMania. You're like, they'll never make it to WWE. They're going to be the Hardy Boys. And then when the music hit.
They were the Hardy Boys.
You grew about 12 sizes, if you know what I mean. You're like, yeah, Hardy Boys. Yeah.
They were the Hardy Boys.
Told
ya. They are. They
can't. I'm right. I'm going to be right. You're going to owe me dinner. I'm going to make you take me to Red Lobster. Whatever. No comfy cow. Whatever. No hometown buffet.
Whatever.
No Chili's. I'm going to make you pay.
No. You get till SummerSlam. It ain't going to happen.
It's all right.
Anyways, that's the end of our This Is Awesome segment. All right. So this week, as we talked about earlier, we had, and I wanted to come back to this because you talked about Shinsuke beating John Cena.
Yes.
All right. So. I was shocked.
And I hate them both. So this was a lose-lose for me.
I was shocked. I was a little – I didn't think that they would push Shinsuke this soon with the title. And supposedly he probably will win the title at SummerSlam. I'm actually against him having a title shot right now. I love Shinsuke Nakamura. I just think it's too soon to give him a title.
I agree with you. I don't hate – I know that I just said that. I don't hate him. I hate when they bring people – when they've got – plenty of wrestlers that have been working hard for years and years and years to get these opportunities, and they bring these people who've been successful in other companies, bring them right over and just shoot them straight to the top. Even with AJ was wrestling in Y2AJ for 6 months or so before.
Well, that's a whole new thing. They shouldn't have touched each other until WrestleMania anyways. That they haven't.
Right. But what I'm saying is he didn't come straight in and challenge for a title.
No.
And I get that Nakamura has been in NXT. He was a champ, blah, 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 blah. But for me, I love watching them wrestle. I just don't feel like – but, you know, I'm old school. I love the old school presentation. I like it when they – I wouldn't be angry if they went back to only 6 pay-per-views a year.
Oh, yeah,
I
sure.
Think that they make them seem meaningless now by having them every 2 weeks. And I get it. You know, you got to have your SmackDown ones and your Raw ones. But, like, I feel like – again, old school. I feel like – the wrestlers I've seen successful growing up, they started in a tag team. Multiple tag team title reigns. The Rockers. Heart Foundation.
Well, just to name a couple. That's still a select few, though. There's 50-50 shot.
Very few of them like that.
50% of them do that. And even back then, 50% of them started that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, more of them didn't. I'll disagree with the 50-50. I'd say it's more like 70-30. But anyway, let me get my point across. Let me get my stuff in, bro. But you start in, I know what you say, I say something different.
Okay.
You want to fight about it? But you start in a tag team, you have a couple successful runs, you go into Intercontinental, you have a couple successful runs, and then you're ready for the big time. You win a Royal Rumble. You win, you lose your Intercontinental title, then you're ready to move on to the next step. I mean, just about every big name did that. The Rock started off in the Nation of Domination. Didn't start off, but he, you know, he entered that before he went into his superstardom. Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, the list goes on and on. But I don't like it when they do it like this, and that's the only thing that's got me having any kind of a grudge. But let me say this. I feel like Nakamura will win the title at SummerSlam, and he will instantly be defeated by Baron Corbin.
Okay, but here's the thing, though.
I'm just throwing my guess out.
But I'm going to give you... back in your point, I get your point.
Right.
But here's the difference between the people you named and Shinsuke Nakamura and some other ones like him.
They were all Hall of Famers?
No.
Okay. What?
The difference is that Shinsuke was in Japan for years paying his dues.
So were all the TNA guys. Bobby Roode, AJ, Joe.
Okay. Right.
And Bob, I forgot you don't follow a lot of that other stuff.
Whatever. Just and now WWE. they're in the WWE, and now they're getting their push, but they've still paid their dues. The other guys that you're naming in the past paid their dues in the WWF or WCW. That's where they were paying their dues. So it's a little bit different. They didn't come right in and get now, except for Hulk Hogan. He's the only one that, but he was also paid his dues in AWA. So they're still paying their dues. But the thing about it is, this is Vince's company. When Vince likes the guy,
yeah,
he's gonna give him the title shot. If he does not like the guy, once again, back up. We'll flash back to our person we shouted out earlier, Mick Foley. He didn't like Mick Foley. He had to be begged to sign him. He put a mask on him because he didn't like his face. And turn out Mick Foley is what? One of the greatest wrestlers in the WWF, WWE Hall of Famer, had great matches, you know, iconic Hell in the Cell match, and that's just a name. One, I mean, he's great. I mean, he's awesome. Mick Foley's great. So, but
Boiler Room Brawls,
but
all those.
That guy had to work his way up, even though he paid his dues in ECW and WCW. He paid his dues and all that. Vince still didn't like him in Japan as well, and blow up matches and what all those other things with Terry Funk.
But he did things the right way.
But he paid his dues, right?
Right.
Because Vince didn't see it. He didn't see it. And then he had to be convinced, okay, this guy's a star. And he finally was convinced and he pushed him. Sometimes Vince sees somebody right away and goes, this guy's a star. Vince is wrong sometimes, like Roman Reigns. But he's also right in a lot of people, like John Cena.
You forgot Dean Ambrose as
well. Kurt Angle. He did push Dean. But Dean did paid a little more of his dues. So Dean was also U.S. champion first and all that stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when you won the U.S. title and then didn't defend it for 8 months, yeah, it was a great title run.
He was a Shield. He didn't need to defend
right.
it.
Right. Okay.
So, anyway. there's things that happen. That's the internet darlings, people that look and all, like, why is so-and-so not getting the title shot? Well, you know what? It's not your company. That's why. They should, but it's not your company. That's the real reason why. It's the bottom line, and it sucks. I don't like it either. Sometimes why people get pushes and other ones don't. But it's not your company. That's the way to go. The bottom line. If it was your company, you would push who you want to push, and people would be mad at you going, why are you pushing so-and-so and not this person?
No, I don't agree with that. I feel like I could run the WWE a lot better storyline. Well, I think I could put on a better show every week. I think any of us could.
I think we can, but still, when we get down to it, I think we still have to. I think we would find out it's harder.
Dude,
than Dude,
people
think.
Love Dolph Ziggler. People love Zack Ryder, and those guys you couldn't get a push now if their life depended on it.
All right, here's someone sitting right here in the wrestling business. Okay, all right. So when it comes to the current product, WWE, yes, it could be better. Absolutely.
Right.
But when you're dealing with politics and 20 writers and then that guy micromanaging Vince can micromanage his company, but you're dealing with him that you may have this great idea, but if Vince doesn't see it, it ain't gonna work, right?
Right.
So that's kind of the whole, Dolph Ziggler's great, but if Dolph pisses Vince off, he ain't gonna get a push.
No, I don't disagree with that. I just think probably at this point, and I can't speak for Dolph, I haven't talked to him in years, but actually, I have talked to him several times in OVW. But
yeah, Nick's a good guy.
Yeah, good guy. Like, he knows him. Nick's a good guy. But he's probably tired of being screwed over all the time. I would start bucking back if I was him. I'm not giving you any career advice, Dolph. I'm sorry, Nick. But, I mean, I would probably get tired of it if I was the best. And there was a time before AJ and KO and them that I considered this recent influx of non-WWE guys that have come into the company in the last three or four years.
Great,
I thought he was probably the best. And if you are the best for a long time and you keep getting crapped on, I'm shocked he's not in Dixie wrestling right or Global Force wrestling right now.
He has a contract.
I know, and I hope he doesn't. As much as I love him, I hope he does not re-sign. I hope he's done with them and he goes to Global Force.
Well, I don't think he's. I think he wants to go in the comedy route. I think he wants to do stand up.
Right, he's doing that now though.
But I mean, I think he wants to
full
time. Yeah, okay. Do like movies and other. I mean, he dated Amy Schumer.
I've heard that when his contract expires sometime after SummerSlam, he's going to New Japan, is what I've been told.
That's a great spot for him. I mean, really, it's
absolutely
better than would you call it Winn-Dixie wrestling?
Save a lot, whatever. I don't know. They change every week. I don't know. They've been like 20 different things since they started.
Yeah.
Maybe well, just mean, four, but still.
We do have people that listen to the show that work there, so we got to be careful. All right, so.
You'll edit that out. It don't matter.
So what, I mean, what do you think about that, JK? I mean, as far as, what we're talking about, you haven't really chimed in on the whole
pushing. I mean, it's always frustrating when your guy gets pushed. I mean, another example is Sami Zayn. He's one of the best in-ring guys in the company by far, but I don't think he's ever even had a world title shot since he's been called up to the main roster. But, you know, usually only one guy is going to challenge for the world title, and everybody gets sour grapes when their guy doesn't get it. I get it. You know, like, why does my guy not get the push? Why is he not, when he's clearly challenged everybody else? I understand that, but, you know, only one guy usually gets that shot, except for Universal title right now with Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Samoa Joe. Another guy who will probably be champ in the company, not even 6 months since he's got called up to the main roster, like your boy Shinsuke, Jeremy. Just curious about your perspective about that.
Talking about Braun Strowman?
No, Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe, oh.
Oh, well, I mean, here's what makes Joe different to me. Because Joe's been with the company how long now?
2 years, I think. 2.5.
About 2 years.
How long has he been on the main roster? A little bit over a year?
No, January.
Six, 7 months.
This January.
Yeah, it was January.
It was right after the Royal Rumble.
I thought it was right.
No.
I thought it was last year right after the Rumble.
Because he injured Seth Rollins and there was no match. It was January, right after the Royal Rumble. The Monday after the Royal Rumble. When he came out.
That's right. Okay. I thought he'd been there just a little bit long. But he had been with NXT for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. 2 years. Yeah.
And Nakamura was in NXT for about a year.
1 year exactly.
Yeah. Before he got called up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't really change my mind too much on that. I mean, I know I see what you're trying to do, you sneaky little fart. But my thing is, now he's trying to get me to be against it in one instance and then be for it in the next instance. Right. But I'm too smart for that.
Yeah, but that's okay. So even
here's the thing. Okay, you want my answer. Yeah, and I always give 5-star answers. The Universal Championship is a joke. So if he wins it, it means nothing to me because it's not a real champion. It is not a championship. when he retires and they try to add that to his world championship totals.
Once again, hold on. You talk about being a joke, but that's the title you want to buy. I don't get it.
It's red and it's sweet. I'm a Louisville fan. I can bling it out like Naomi did the women's title. You know me. I got championships upstairs in my room that I have pimped out.
See, I understand your point about hot-shotting guys to the very top of the mountain. Like, Ric Flair was even pushed that fast because I was just looking it up. He was signed in August of 1991, and about 4 or 5 months later, he won the title at the Royal Rumble.
But you know what, mate?
I don't think you can.
Now, I understand Flair's an exception because Flair's Flair.
But same with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was pushed so high, but look at Brock Lesnar as a different. Look at him. You know, he's just a whole different beast.
I think you got to take each case. Well, I guess
you got to do it politically, case by case.
Yeah,
politically correct way. You got to do it case by case because even with Joe. Joe's been wrestling in the main event with our fine friends at Global Force Wrestling.
Well, even Ring of Honor.
Since you reminded me of that. In Ring of Honor, oh my God, the battles between him and CM Punk.
Oh.
Whew. But, like, he started out in TNA, like, with a 2-year undefeated streak, wasn't it? Or was it a year and a half?
But
it was something like that.
Yeah, but even, let's go back to even the guy that the creator of the NXT, that pretty much going to run WWE here in the future soon, if he's not already almost done there, Triple H. He came in, he wasn't someone that got pushed. He actually, because of who he was tied to, got pushed aside and said, no, you're going to take a punishment. And he had to work his way to the top.
I beg to disagree. He had one heck of a mud pin match with Henry O. Godwin here in Louisville at a pay-per-view.
Oh, my gosh.
Does that sound like he's not getting pushed if he's in a – of course he wasn't getting pushed.
Exactly, but he had to work his – and look at where he's at today.
And he did. So, he almost got fired.
He almost got fired
because
twice.
Of his association with them.
He almost got fired twice.
Right.
And so it's – and then look at him being, you know, the future of the company. And he's the greatest thing that was ever invented by WWE in the last 10 years is NXT, and he's the creator of it.
As I said on the first episode of the Ringside Podcast, he made the single greatest business decision of any person that has ever done something for their career in their life. He married the boss's daughter.
That was organically happened. That wasn't. He didn't force himself into that position.
I disagree. He worked the boss is what he did.
Boom! Your biggest thing is, oh, let's talk to people in the business and see what they say about it. So far, you are 0-2, Spence.
Worked the boss.
Worked.
Whatever.
We need to have him in every week. I love it.
Oh, because he agrees with you on one topic.
No, it was actually two.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
The two you disagreed with me about, by the way.
If I'm okay with somebody disagrees, I'm going to give facts, and they can give facts, and we're good. You know?
You hate it when people... Oh, my God. I have never... Not to get off topic, but you are so... femaleish when people disagree with you because he will go out of his way. This is little ticket talking 101. I don't think anybody's ever called me the little ticket before. But he goes so far that if he thinks that he's right, even if you've already been proved wrong, which is cool, but then for the next 2 hours, he'll send you messages from articles all over where his point was proven. And it's like, okay, douchebag, we get it. You were right. We were wrong. You don't have to just like keep punching in like an ex-girlfriend or something like that. So that's just the way he rolls.
Anyways, whatever.
You're 0-2 today.
Whatever. By the way, back to the John Cena thing. Of course, back to the John Cena thing. And you think of like Dolph Ziggler being this great wrestler. I think John Cena is better than Dolph Ziggler.
You're about to be 0-3. I'm about to turn to Stephen A. Smith.
I think you're scaring away our guest. You have to lead him back into the pen.
You're about to turn me into the Stephen A. Smith of this podcast. That is the most blasphemous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. John Cena, bless his heart, make a wish, kudos, all that, couldn't wrestle his way out of a wet paper bag unless he's got somebody like Dolph in the ring with him, Shinsuke in the ring with him.
2015, everybody. Summer of Cena. Telling you, man, every match he put on was phenomenal. No pun intended.
Hey, who was he against? Can you give us a couple of the wrestlers he wrestled against in 2015, please, sir?
Some of the wrestlers he wrestled against?
Yes, please.
Sure.
Okay.
Sami Zayn.
Great wrestler.
I'd beg to differ.
Okay, well, you'd be wrong.
Kevin Owens.
Great wrestler.
Absolutely. He also had a match with Neville.
Great wrestler.
Let's see, who else?
Well, good wrestler. Sorry, I'm not going to throw great on everybody.
Rusev.
That was an awful match. That was not a great match. It was not a great feud. That WrestleMania match was
that
hot
match.
Poop.
Oh, wait a minute. Then a couple years before that, he had a great match, one of the Match of the Year contenders with the great Khali.
No, not that I remember. If that was Match of the Year, that might be
some grand hyperbole. Yeah,
right. That's Daniel Spencer. Daniel Spencer and things up. This guy hates being wrong, and now he's going to try to John Cena over here for the next 30
John
minutes.
John Cena carried the company for all these years. I used to not like John Cena. I used to couldn't stand him, but I start looking at his work and appreciate it. Not just listen to what the internet tells me. I look at his work and appreciate it. And I'm like, wow, he's a great wrestler.
Daniel, I respect your willingness to plant your flag for Cena and die on the
hill.
That's
not the only thing he's pointing for Cena.
Nikki, different story. All right.
No, it's the same story. My point is that John Cena can have great... I'm not going to completely...
I love when I bring his name up.
No, you like... pissing me off.
Exactly. That's why I bring up John Cena each and every time, because it's great. I get this Jeremy right. I get heel Jeremy, the real heel Jeremy that I want.
I'm telling you, we talked about this the other day at the Cardinal Sports Zone meeting that we had. It's a site I work for on the side. They wanted to start following me around with cameras and do the true E! Hollywood story of Jeremy. And I laughed it off at first, but then I'm like, that would probably be pretty good. I'd watch it.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
You would too.
Anyways,
you love 55.
It would be like that scene in the Deadpool video game where he's watching like
Deadpool
vids.
By the way, the other night at the OVW event, you even brought up, I love when Prototype was here. You said Prototype. You kept trying to put Prototype.
Prototype was
Jeremy,
a good wrestler.
Prototype
you're such
was
a hipster.
Good wrestler. No,
are you
John
talking,
Cena
do you remember
is
when
not.
The Leviathan was on OVW?
Dude, I think everybody in the room, even Daniel, who... his brain is about as big as the microphone over here, realizes that I did that as a punch. And like Prototype was a better wrestler than John Cena. He had a more advanced move set. But then once John Cena become John Cena, I loved
Okay.
No. I love Thugonomics John Cena. He come to the ring wrapped. He had a wider move. And as soon as he become John Cena, he's like, I don't have to work no more. I can have six moves.
Exactly. That's smart. I'll wrestle.
I didn't say it wasn't smart.
Hogan did that crap.
I didn't say it wasn't smart. It's just, who cares?
When you get to a certain point, you don't have, you take less bumps. You have a longer career. But John Cena doesn't takes up more bumps than Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall ever did in the end of their careers.
And, but he's not as good a wrestler as any of those guys were either. So,
are you trying to say John Cena? You trying to say Kevin Nash is a better wrestler than John Cena?
Absolutely.
Put on better matches. Absolutely.
Kevin Nash only had three moves. John Cena at least has five.
Your Cena shades need to come off.
Daniel, don't work yourself into a shoot, brother.
Listen. It's cool. I just like you always like to rile me up, I always know that you will never take your lips off of the name John Cena or any of his appendages ever. It's always going to be this struggle.
So when you meet, next time you meet John Cena, because I'm pretty sure you've met him before.
I used to live across the street from him. This girl that lived across the street from him. She was fine as can be, and he was always over at her house.
Well, we heard stories about John Cena.
Right.
Yeah. From Kenny
always,
Bowen.
He always tried to get my internet password so he could sign onto my Wi-Fi.
Really? I wonder why.
Porn.
So John, okay, when you see John Cena again, you're going to go up to him and tell him he's a terrible wrestler?
No, when I go up to John Cena, when I see him the next time, I'm going to say, hey, John, great work with Make-A-Wish. Really appreciate that. Loved you when you were Thugonomics. Ricky Chevy's a better wrestler than you.
Oh, my God. Ricky Chevy.
Okay, we took a hit.
I was kidding. Hey, he knows him though, because John used to date Ricky's sister when we were growing up.
That's a Ricky Chevy story.
No, that's actually a true story. Steve was there. Steve can vouch for that as well. We can all vouch for it.
I look,
hand events that happened.
I know a lot of off the record John Cena stories. Even
Ricky's
when
sister's fine too.
All right, anyway,
hi girl. Call
anyway,
me.
Let's go into our rapid fire.
Somebody call 911. Shawty fire burning on the dance floor. Whoa.
You're gonna start a fire that you cannot put out.
It's up in flames.
What is that? The gasoline? That they could not be that heinous. And my God, the casket's on fire. The casket's on fire.
Bang, hotter than the sun in the south of Spain. Got me soon as I walk through the.
All right, so first of all, rapid fire, we got Enzo Amore having backstage heat on the WWE right now with Peoples. What do you think about that? We'll let the ticket do it. What do you think?
I think Enzo Amore is a huge, well, not huge, but small joke anyway. So if he got fired, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Cass carried that tag team. Cass is the star. Enzo Amore needs to go. He's annoying.
Okay, interesting. Wait, now, I will say that. Go ahead. Say what you're going
to
say.
No, you go ahead. You're probably starting to interrupt me.
You're probably agreeing with him because it's funny that the big guys will be on Cass's side on that.
No. I mean, Enzo can cut a promo.
Yeah, exactly.
But the guy almost broke his neck going out of the ropes. I mean, he's a joke. He's a joke. He needs to go back to training. He needs to go. He's a global force wrestler.
He reminds me of their tag team was,
which we love, by the way.
Their tag team was Billy Gunn. And their tag team reminds me of Billy Gunn and Road Dogg. So Road Dogg was the mouthpiece. Billy Gunn was the wrestler, and that's kind of where I thought they went. Now they never broke those up, and I'm surprised that they didn't keep them together because I thought it worked. Because you already knew one was going to be a bigger star than the other, I'm kind of shocked. Well, but I mean, he does have heat, and I can see if he has a mouth like he has on the mic, which is supposedly that's his real character. I can only imagine, you know, he's just running his mouth.
But they knew that, though. That's my thing about it. I like the I don't like them apart.
I don't either.
I don't the big cast thing. I like big cast, but so far he's not really. Then putting him into the feud with the Big Show didn't really help him out either. But I didn't think he was great on the mic. I feel like, you know, you have – that's the – like you said, that's the reason they were together. He could talk. He could wrestle. And I don't think Enzo's an awful – I don't have as harsh of a stance on this as Ticket does. But to me, they only worked together. And now I couldn't care less if we ever see Cass again. Enzo was very, very entertaining on the mic. But it's like, what are they doing with him now? They've not done anything. They broke him up too early. Just like, who else did they just break? Oh, like the American Alpha. They should have left them alone for a while.
Yeah.
and they didn't, and they didn't give any of these guys an opportunity to build themselves. Again, they knew if this is him every day, they knew how he was. Then you should have known how that was going to be affect your locker room.
JK,
I mean, you guys are right. I mean, it just feels like an incomplete package when you separate Enzo and Cass. If anything, they should have transitioned him from a tag team to maybe Cass being the singles guy, but having Enzo retained as the mouthpiece.
Which is kind of what they did in NXT for a little bit.
Or I'm okay with Enzo being his manager, maybe wrestle every so often, you know, then and kind of be his, you know, and do it that way. That would have been great.
Well, that's how they did. At the very beginning of their run together in NXT, Enzo was the manager for a couple of matches, and then they transitioned into a tag team.
Yeah, Brock Carmelo.
And I've stated this a few times, you know, I'm all for adding managers because it's kind of a lost art in pro wrestling nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. So real quick on the, because the whole topic is about the Heat. So do you see like the WWE cutting ties with him in the future because of what?
Yeah, but I think we'll see him shipped off to SmackDown first, and then if he can't get himself straight over there, then yeah, they'll let him go.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I see it happening. If the heat is, yeah.
Was that the bell?
It was. So next up, we have the wrestler Ho Ho Lun.
Loon. I told you that. When you are writing down the topics for the show,
I know you are our Tokyo, Japan, Japanese guru. So you know that. That's why I'm asking you. It was a question. I said his name as a question. Is this correct? So you know how to. You're our guy for that. So anyways, so he was released this past week by the WWE. Kind of shocked to see that coming because he was a good talent. What do you guys think about that? You think that was a good decision, right? I mean, of course, he wasn't really. Have any kind of significance on TV, but at the same time, he's still a good wrestler they could have utilized to, you know, for I guess dark matches or whatever.
It didn't really affect me either way. You know, when they signed, I thought the mistake they made when they signed all those guys from the Cruiserweight Classic. I knew they were going to have to get rid of them someday, but it's great transition because you know you mentioned. The Japanese fan base. So here's something I wanted to let them know real quick. Just to let them know that I'm still thinking of them because I haven't shouted them out yet.
Daniel wa nekki ni michiteiru.
Which means Daniel's full of hot air. Point being, this guy was just an accessory signing, and it really it really doesn't matter to me that he's gone. I'm sure he's a great wrestler. We'll see him in New Japan again or you know wherever he's at. It didn't affect me either way. JK?
Non-story. Next!
That's how strongly he feels. I heard the bell ring, though.
All right. It's getting annoying. So WWE supposedly passes on re-signing Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, I heard that, and I heard it was because evidently Conan's part of his representation now, and they don't want nothing to do with him.
Yeah, which is... I mean,
and Alberto. I have to mention that Alberto and Conan... and Ray are all like this right now.
Are they? Are they close?
Yeah.
I knew Ray.
I know Ray and Conan were tight at the hip.
Alberto was. Who was it?
Conan and Alberto. They
basically don't associate yourself with Alberto.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Basically,
career suicide.
Yeah, but no. Even the storylines on Global Force TV right now, it's Conan in the LAX against. Alberto and the story, they play up the fact that Alberto's dad and Conan have known each other their whole life. Conan used to be like an uncle. They're real close. I didn't know this beforehand. Then I did some research, and evidently it is true. And the story that I seen on this yesterday said that they don't want to touch Ray now because Conan's the representation and Conan's affiliation with Alberto has soured that deal.
But wouldn't Ray be perfect for that one show they always try to pimp out?
205 Live?
Yeah.
No. He's better than that.
What?
Much.
That show doesn't I even mean, deserve agree, to be on the air.
I agree. I know better what you're than saying. That, but that's the star power you're wanting for that show to boost it more. Than
that show needs to be especially taken off the network.
And I'm spitballing this off the top of my head. I think they're about to enter their Mexico tour sooner or later.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
That show, we've said this 100 times too, so sorry if you're tired of hearing it. 205 Live needs to evaporate, and they need to. I love the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
They need to have matches on. Only have the title defended on the pay per views. Have matches on Raw.
Here's the thing.
Have matches on SmackDown. Move the whole thing to Full Sail. Do it there.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Ray, because it's a topic, is that I love seeing the old wrestlers come back and have your little heyday, your halls, your part time wrestlers. But at the same time, I mean, I've had a lot of Rey Mysterio over the past, from WCW right. to WWE, and it's just, you know what, I'm okay. Keep him on Lucha Underground. Keep him, maybe take him to GFW, whatever. I'm good with that.
That's probably what they're going to do, because they said he did like the reduced schedule and he wanted to get back out there. And plus, who would be more perfect to join Alberto against the six members of LAX? Yeah. I mean, his friend Ray. So, and that would be a double cross to Conan and blah, 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 blah.
All right, bell rung. So we got, this was, we saw bell. This coming. We talked about this here before, and it was going to happen, and it finally officially went through. Eva Marie and WWE, now she didn't get released. They mutually agreed to part ways. So I guess whatever contract they had, they decided to just cut tie. I don't know wherever they worked at the deals, but it wasn't official release. They just agreed to part ways. We saw it coming, but were you shocked, though, that it happened?
I wasn't shocked that it happened, seeing that we haven't seen a whole lot of her being featured on Total Divas for a year. Here's what shocked me. There was some interaction on Twitter. Some of y'all know I'm a social media guru. I like to call myself that. And there was some interaction between Road Dogg and the WWE Universe last night. They were like, WWE, you're stupid for letting Eva go. She was going to be which I don't agree with. She was going to be a talent one day. And he responded to him, it wasn't our decision. We made the offer. She declined. So that's when it became a mutual decision, because, hey, you turned me down. No, you ain't turning me down, girl.
Yeah,
I'm turning you down. So that's where that become that.
She has been going more in the she's always been a model, but she's been going more in the acting stage.
Yeah.
She's in the Nicolas Cage movie that just came out recently. They filmed actually not too far from here, and then she's in other projects coming up. So I think that's what she wants to do. Plus, her you know who her agent is, right? Like her like who represents her?
Her husband?
No,
that's what it was on the show. No,
Seven Bucks Productions, Dana Johnson. Or former Garcia, Danny Johnson, The Rock's ex-wife. That's they're all connected that way. And The Rock is that's their company.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
She's kind of still tied, and they're gonna push her to the movie. So I don't I guess
they really
you're
never
gonna make more money that way anyway.
They really never gave her a chance anyway. The way that they brought her on, because they went from
she got suspended or whatever, but. I think that she has natural heat, and it was perfect to bring her as the heel, and she would always have that natural heat. So I'm kind of shocked, because that's money, but at the same time, your heart's got to be in it, and if her heart wasn't really in it and she wanted to do something else, you can't force them. Like I said, they made an offer, she refused. They mutually agreed. Okay, see ya. Having good luck in all your future endeavors. Kind of our deal or whatever. So what do you think?
I was shocked by it, to be honest. I thought Eva Marie, towards the end of her run, was trending upward. I thought she could have been a star, because she did have that natural heat, and she was hated by everybody.
It's like Sunny. Sunny back in the day at Smoky Mountain Wrestling, she had more heat than Jim Cornette.
Right.
And it's because, of course, this is when she looked great, she's beautiful. And she just people just couldn't stand that. And plus, she was, just became a heel, and just people hated her. And that natural heat was there. And of course, now WWF brought her in and was like, oh, she looks too good. She came in as a heel and they turned her into a face. But I think eventually would have done the same for her. But it's just that, the whole Total Divas thing and the whole back. And it's just, it was, to me, it was a perfect, marriage, I guess, between the two. But, I was a little shocked, but we saw it coming, just because she hadn't been on TV for a year, even on Total Divas, and she hasn't been training, wrestling. She's been doing nothing but acting, so kind of saw it coming there. You got any comments on this before we – next topic?
I mean, Eva Marie may have a better career modeling or Hollywood, but she was trending upward, but she had a very, very limited ceiling in pro wrestling.
Yeah. Next up, she would have been, by the way, she would have been great as a manager, though, with the heat that she would have been in that role.
Maybe.
Anyways, next up, actually the final thing is Paige is talking about she is hoping to wrestle again soon, and she's still in a contract with WWE. So do we see her maybe after SummerSlam, maybe before WrestleMania? Like, what do you think about Paige?
Never. We never see her in WWE again.
Really? Okay.
Well, okay, never is a strong word, because they always mend fences at some point.
Never say never in WWE.
Right, that's why I changed it immediately, Slaps. But no, if they have so big of a problem with Alberto that they're not going to sign one of their...
She's already signed. They don't have to sign her.
No. Well, let me finish talking. Thanks. if they have a big problem with signing Ray because he's affiliated with Alberto, do you? And they've just set Eva on the sidelines for a year. You think they have a problem with letting her sit out the rest of her contract and then letting her go to Global Force with her boo thing?
Yes, I do. They're not going to let her go. You know why?
They're not going to. So you think they just sign her out of spot? She has to agree to the contract being renewed.
No, she's locked in for another like 3 years. Do you know why they're not going to let her go?
I thought she was only locked in for another year, from what I read.
It's 2020. Do you know why she's not going to go anywhere?
Why?
Because the greatest or most popular, most paid, most number one trending, whatever you can think, superstar out there, move in the entertainment industry, and also not a WWE Hall of Famer yet, but a former WWE wrestler, The Rock, is doing a movie with his own money, producing.
this movie is true. I forgot about
her family. So until that gets released, they're not gonna let Global Force Wrestling get that money. They're gonna let UFC
normally do. You throw stuff to the wall and see what sticks. I got it.
They're gonna ride that out and say, okay, we're gonna push. This is our wrestler. This is our superstar. It ain't gonna matter about. They'll ignore Alberto Del Rio or El Patron, whatever his name is.
I think it's gonna be a while then. I reserve the right to be able to change my opinion. So don't look at me like that. But I don't think she has any substantial title runs. I don't think she has a title run left in her.
No, but can you imagine her, though, versus AJ Lee? But we've seen that. Sorry. Can you imagine her versus Sasha Banks, her versus Bayley, her versus Charlotte, this group of Becky?
Man, yeah, because I've already seen her wrestle all those girls. When this revolution started, it was team Becky Paige.
Those were tag teams and mixed tags. No. It's talking legitimate matches.
Sasha. She wrestled.
It
doesn't feed into your point. Okay.
I'm talking about a true match.
Yeah, it could be great.
Yeah. I mean, anyways. All right. Anything about Paige?
That girl is a basket case right now, man. I don't think there's any way in the next 6 months to a year you see her on WWE TV. I mean, she's just got way too much negative attention around her, mm-hmm. it seems, on a weekly basis.
Things are always up, up, down, down.
Oh, my God.
Boy, you don't.
That's it. That's it of our rapid fire.
I guess that's one good way to stop it. Let me stand next to your
fire. All right, so that's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen, this week. We do appreciate all the support and listening all over the globe. Once again, you can find us all on every platform that plays podcasts. We're on the Apple Podcast. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio, Google Play app, the TuneIn Radio app, as well as Spotify. Or just go to ringsidepodcast.com and click right there and listen to it. I think, Jeremy, you said that's the way you actually listen.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it. You just go and then you just pick which one you want to listen to.
Of course, we always put the links on our Facebook and Twitter page. Now, if you subscribe, though, to those podcasts, you actually be able to get the show immediately when it goes live at midnight on Monday, Tuesday, / midnight. But if you don't subscribe, then you have to wait another day or about 18 hours before the link goes out. So, if you want to hear exactly, hear it first, get subscribe and you'll get it right away sent directly to your device on any one of those platforms. So like I said, we appreciate the support for everything. You can find us on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Ringside Podcast. Individually, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
At Jeremy _CSC.
At Cougarmania, brother.
And
Big Tech. At Big Ticket Ables.
At Big Ticket Ables.
You'd be gracious to our guests.
I was actually.
Yeah, but it's better radio when I cut you off when I know you're about to do something and then accuse you of not doing it.
True, but I was actually going to. I was going to give you more of a introduction.
But you can still do that later.
Yeah, true.
I do what I want to. This is my studio.
All right. So yeah. So follow our guests at Big Ticket Ables. And by the way, once again, let's talk about this event. Let's plug where you can find information on it, where you can get tickets, where the show's at. Go ahead and tell us all about that once again.
Once again, it's August 12th at 7:30 p.m., 1416 Spring Street in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. It's for Grappling for Gracie, River Valley Championship Wrestling. It's going to be a great show. Come on out. You can hit me up on Twitter at Big Ticket Ables if you want tickets to potentially win lunch with Mick Foley. come see me. It's going to be a great show. We'll draw that night for that lunch with Mick Foley, and it's going to be an awesome show, man.
Awesome. Sounds great. I know Jeremy will be there.
I will be
live
there.
In person. I'm possibly will be there live in person. I don't know just yet. It depends on my schedule. I'm trying to work it out. So I think JK, I think you got some other plans too, but hopefully this is the first, if we can't make this event,
the important people are going to make it. That's all that matters.
True. But we're going to, but I also will help donate to the calls though, no matter what, if I can't or can be there. But as far as, when it comes to the show, if this is the first of many, many monthly events, we definitely will, Ringside Podcast will be there in the future, and we more than welcome to have you on again, Brandon, so you can plug all the different, stuff in advance, and we'll retweet, do the stuff for our fans out there. Our thousands of listeners.
Ringside Podcast Nation, right? The Ringsiders. Is that what we should call
the
it?
The Ringsiders. That's
that
it.
Is
that's,
a great name.
That's it.
You just
came up with it right here.
Everything. I come up with everything. I'm tired. My back is sore from carrying you two jabronis around
whatever.
The whole time.
Thanks for being a Ringsider.
I'm so humble.
And we appreciate the support. Once again, you can leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you think about the show at 502-694-2310. You know, it may just make the show. We appreciate all the shares and retweets and everything you do. By the way, shout out to OVW. Thanks for following us and this new built-in relationship we have with them. And they've been sharing our pictures and stuff that we from the event and videos. So we appreciate that. Appreciate their support and love this this new found partnership. With we already had a little bit of a small one with WWE, not as big, but you know, it's a small one. Now we got one with OVW. So
what's our one with the fact that they don't block our videos anymore?
They let us use their videos on our website now. Hey, you had to start somewhere.
It counts. Hey.
Absolutely.
Even right. The biggest of dreams start small somewhere.
So we figured we'd always do the pipe bomb, and you know, normally when we have a guest, we always allow the guest to do the pipe bomb. I understand you have this big match coming up for this Saturday, August the 12th, and you're wrestling for the NWF International Heavyweight Championship against
Roger Blade.
Roger Blade.
Hmm. Words are hard for Daniel sometimes. So I had to repeat them.
Sometimes it cuts. So I know you're going to do.
I'm done.
So before we officially end the show. Why don't we have our guest do the pipe bomb? So, Big Ticket, take it away.
You want this? Come on. Lay the pipe bomb on me, big guy. Come on. Go ahead.
Roger Blade, I've been away from the ring for a year and a half. And I'm stepping back in the ring this Saturday night after a phone call from the board of directors begging me to step in the ring against you. Roger, you and I have been up and down the road together. We've been a tag team. We've been one-on-one. We've been in street fights. We've been in dog collar matches. Anything you can imagine, you and I have done it. Well, this Saturday night, Roger Blade, it's a special show. Grappling for Gracie. And it's me and you, one-on-one, one more time. And I'm leaving with that international championship Saturday night, Roger Blade. I might have been away from a year and a half. I might be a little rusty. But I know that no matter what comes Saturday night, I will always be better than you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Make sure you go to River Valley Wrestling. I'm excited now. I'm excited.
You are not going to punch this big ticket.
I'm excited. There you go. There's your joke. River Valley Wrestling. River Valley Wrestling this Saturday night. Be there. If you're not there, then you're square, right? Is that the way you say it? Be there or be square?
I've never said that in my life. But then again, I don't have any problems with females either, so.
Whatever. Thanks for listening to the show, and as always.
Until next time, you've been ringside.
See ya.
Rhyme of strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you can be next. You better give respect. Cause ain't nobody breaking this redneck.